This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
While working as an optician, Jenna Phillips started an account on OnlyFans for extra cash. After 18 months of posting vanilla content on the fan subscription platform, the Austin, Texas resident realized her longtime fetish for acting like a dog could be much more lucrative. I've always acted like a puppy, but not in a sexual way at first. I used to pretend I was a puppy when I was growing up. Looking back on it now, it's kind of always just been there. I just didn't know there was a scene. I just thought it was my personality. Believe it or not, she has since grown a massive online following, gaining over 215,000 TikTok followers. Since March, she basically earns $10,000 a month acting like a kinky puppy on OnlyFans.com. Our question, what is a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Miles, real quick, just so you know, it has been confirmed to us that the Dick's location in Queen Anne was originally a Dick's.
It was?
Yeah, apparently it was built for Dick's.
I'll be there. You go. Okay. Very unique dicks.
Yes, very unique dicks.
It's different from all the other dicks.
Can't believe they don't use that in their slogan. Hello, Christian. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Got the hola and the liquor and whores back. That was good. I got to follow the OnlyFans story. This is going to be tough.
Like I said, I've never acted like a sexy puppy because you can't be one.
I know. Maybe I should try it, though. In any case, I used to be a runner at concerts back in the day, and my very first gig as a runner, for those who don't know, a runner is somebody who just goes and gets things, brings them to and from the venue, just all the things, whatever it is, people, stuff, cigarettes, anything. So I went on my very first runner gig to go pick up some stuff from Fred Meyer. They give you a float of cash, so I probably had like $300 in cash. I only bought a few things at Fred Meyer. On my way back to the venue, I realized I had put the envelope with the cash on top of my car and drove off.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was a bummer. But thankfully, I was only 16 at the time, so I called my mom. I was, like, freaking out. And she goes, well, where were you last? Let's go back and look. And it was in the center turn lane just outside the Fred Meyer. Thankfully, I got it, and I learned a very valuable lesson that day.
Damn, yeah. I used to do that, man, in high school, too. That was one of my first gigs working in radio.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, they give you a big Chevy Econo van, and you're transferring people back and forth, whether it be managers to the hotel rooms. Some guys you're dropping off at a laundromat for the day for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, right, right.
And you go pick them up because this was before the days of bands that traveled. Right now, they've got washers and dryers backstage. So when you go to, like, see Pain in the Grass, when we're back there, there's like 3 or 4 full-size washing machines back there just going at all times.
And I will say, some of the people we meet back there, that's a good idea.
That is. It's a real good idea.
Yeah, there are some smelly, smelly
people.
I'll tell
you this, it's hard to wash leather. What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, do they have specialized leather washing?
I know Zach Wilde didn't wear underwear. And everything, like, he wore the same pair of leather pants, he told us, for 3 months.
Yeah, he didn't care.
You know, he just reads.
He's like, I don't care. He does not care. But, like, 90% of these people we meet backstage, they're in leather. Like, what are you washing?
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Cameron. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So my story starts out pretty crappy, but it gets funny towards the end. So earlier this year, I lost
my job due to the coronavirus and stuff. And so about a month or two into all that and the job search, someone got into my account and started spending like $500 at Walmart. So I had to work with Chase Fraud and all that to try and figure that out. But as soon as we got that card canceled and everything else, I logged into my account to kind of figure out what was going on with it. And I could see that they were still in the account, like working on a shopping basket that moment. So I just went through line by line and deleted it as they were adding things for a good half an hour, just until they kind of got the idea that I just deleted the account entirely.
Did you change your password? Did you change your card? Did you get it canceled? I mean, how did you handle it?
Yeah, I had to get the card canceled, so they sent a new one, and then I just deleted the account entirely from Walmart because I didn't feel like going through that ever again.
What kind of stuff were they buying?
So this was during the toilet paper shortage. So okay. There was like $100 worth of Sherman and then a whole bunch of other cleaning supplies and like.
So they were using your account to then purchase things that they could then again sell, probably an upsell to people they knew.
Yeah, so the only good thing was we never actually had the money taken from our account. It got put back eventually, and then they sent me a new card, and I got a Darth Vader debit card, so that was pretty sweet.
Oh, that is cool. That is very cool.
And for your trouble.
That was the bright side, was the dark side.
I think I'd be more impressed with that than like a black card, or you know what I mean, one of those really nice metal ones. Yeah.
Well, the black card, all I'm going to think is, oh, wow, you're rich. Darth Vader card, like, cool, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Star Wars.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Speaking of money, most people don't know this, but at the top of the show, we got a text. All right? The text came in, and it said something to the effect of, hey, I'm working late tonight. The money will be good. The money, right?
The money will be good
because of overtime.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't make dinner plans. Obviously, this is an error text. So I responded, well, you son of a bitch, what the hell am I going to eat now? Or something like that. Well, now it was on.
Okay. Right?
So the guy responded back, so what in the actual F? You're the one who made the plans. I responded with, I will never make plans with you again, you son of a bitch. I'm going to go listen to the men's room. Then he comes back with just, what in the F, you crazy bitch? All right. So so I finally just let him know, hey, man, you've been texting the show for the last hour. So whoever this chick is you're trying to let know, she doesn't know yet. So he just responded, oh, S. That was almost World War III for our relationship. My bad. That's the only reason I let him know. I'm like,
why are you single? What is a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, I'm starting to get bad. I'm like, I should let him know.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
I've been waiting to say that for years, guys. I want you to know that.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right, so I got a pretty good story. I had an incredible lucky streak this one weekend. So I played competitive pool before the pandemic, actually. And I had a vacation plan to go down to Lincoln City, Oregon to play in this big tournament. Like 100 tables, a whole bunch of people, a great time, right?
What is it when you're playing competitively? Is it 9-ball?
8-ball, 9-ball, or 10-ball. It just depends on the format.
Okay.
Wait, what is 10-ball?
10-ball is like 9-ball, but there's one extra ball.
Okay.
Interesting.
I feel stupid for asking.
Now you have a 10-ball on the table.
No, it's kind of a new game.
Okay. I've never
been
played
around for a couple years.
All right.
So I had a little budget, like $500 saved up, because I was going to go gamble a little bit. I was going to eat a little bit. It's at a casino. So I go to the bar the night before, kind of like, you know, a quick hoorah, play some pool, hang out, drink with the buddies. I throw $20 in a pool tab bowl. I'm kind of drunk. I'm like, whatever. Well, the bartender comes over, brings me my dish of pull tabs, and I start opening them, and I hit $5.99. I was like, holy hell. Like, wow, $600. So I tip her like $80. I buy a round of drinks. You know, the night goes on. I go home. Next day, I wake up. I go to Lincoln City, Oregon. I get down there. I find a $100 bill on the floor in the casino.
Jesus.
I pick this thing up, and I'm like, holy cow. I'm looking around waiting for someone to be like, hey, I lost some money. Well, no one spoke up. So I stuck it in my pocket, and I, you know, kind of hung around a little bit. So I throw my name in a raffle. It's a free raffle for, they call it sand dollars. Like, it's the casino's version of their credits or whatnot.
Okay.
I end up winning this raffle for 100 sand dollars, but you have to gamble the money. It's not like free money,
sure,
right?
You just got
to
use it at their casino.
Yes. So I go to this Willy Wonka machine, and I sit down, and I'm playing for 5 or 6 minutes, and I hit, like, $300 on this machine. And I'm just thinking back to myself, like, 2 days ago, I had this $500 budget. Now I've got more than $1,000 to just blow down here. So I ate and drank whatever the heck I wanted, had a great time. I played terrible pool, but
who cares?
Casino.
Who cares?
I started hating you as the story went on. I picked up the $100 bill. Man. Now it's covering a gold cougar wreck.
Are you considered? Would you consider yourself like a semi-professional pool player?
Oh no way, man! I'm definitely an amateur. Like, there's lots of formats. I'm a 5 out of 7 in the APA, and I'm a 5 out of 10 in the UPA. So I'm kind of in the middle ground.
Okay, so better than us.
I mean,
but they handicap that, right?
They handicap, yeah. So say I was playing you guys, it wouldn't be like an even race to 5. It'd be like I'd have to win 7. And you guys got to win 2 or what have you.
Gotcha.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, all right.
How much is your pool cue these days? What's a McDermott cost? Like a really good stick?
Well, you can get a McDermott anywhere from like 120 to probably 3,000-4,000. I've gotten like several cues.
And what?
My most expensive cue is probably around $700.
And does it make that big of a difference? Or do you have to be at least as good as you are to notice a difference?
Yeah, I mean, so if you go pick up a cue at the bar, and if you're a competitive player, you pick up a house cue, you can tell the difference.
Okay.
You pick up a beautiful, like a Josh or a JP or you know,
just the wait, just the waiting,
from $4,000 to $5,000.
Just the waiting on them alone. I like a heavy cue. There's this right. girl who, before the pre-COVID thing, and she always goes to a place in our neighborhood to play pool, and she always asks if you want to play pool, and I'm always like, no. And the reason is because she brings in 2 sticks.
Oh, yeah, no chance.
I'm like, no, this is not going to be fun. Like, you are just going to wipe my ass on the table.
You let me win the first game, and you want to play again for money?
Why don't I just buy you a drink now and get this crap over with so we can not waste anyone's time?
Let me just do that.
If that's what we're playing for here. What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Man, you know, he's talking about being on a budget. A buddy of mine got married at the Bellagio in Vegas. And at this point, live in Baltimore, and I am as broke as it gets, but he invites me to the wedding. I want to go. One, it's in Vegas, a couple of days, but like, I have no money. So my budget was probably like $40. It's supposed to get me through this whole weekend, whatever the case. And I'm staying at the Flamingo. Everyone else is staying at the Bellagio. But again, based on money, I am not staying at the Bellagio. So when you get to the Flamingo, I don't know if it's still this way. The youngest person in there before I stepped in had to be 465 years old. I mean, it is just, it's like a hospice when you walk in there. You're like, oh my God, man, if they let you smoke in a hospice. So it's all these old women. So I check into the hotel. I go down to the lobby, man. Again, I'm just broke. I go up to the quarter slot machine on my second quarter. So I invested 50 cents. I won $960.
Jesus.
I cannot explain to you how freaking happy I was. And I realized I'm throwing my hands, because that's like winning the freaking Powerball for me at the time, man. And this old lady, I guess she had been playing the slot. You know, it's always like, there'll be the lucky pull. She'd only moved away from that slot maybe 3 or 4 minutes before I went down. She mean mugged me the whole time, like it's a setup. I'm like, lady, I've pulled the slot.
I have control over this.
And all I wanted to do, so I ate well, I drank my face off, and just kept enough money to buy a new TV, because the TV I owned at the time, you might remember this one, you couldn't turn it off. Well, let me rephrase it. You could turn it off, but you might wait 3 or 4 weeks for it to turn back on. So what I learned was, before I went to bed every night, I would just turn the volume all the way down and leave it on. Yeah, because I'm like, dude, do not turn off my TV. Do not turn off that TV. I don't know if it'll ever come back on. It's bought a new TV. Greatest moment of my life.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Yes, greatest moment of my life. Had kids, whatever. Mm-hmm. Buying that new TV outshines them all. Hello, Marcus. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, gentlemen. So, I lost money. Maybe about 2017, 2018, I went over to Vegas with a couple of my roommates for a convention. And, we flew out Thursday that day, went to the convention, and then I was like, screw it. My first time in Vegas, I'm going to get hammered. And that's exactly what I did. Went to several clubs, stayed at one club for a while, and once 12 o'clock hit, 12 morning hit, payday, a little bit over $1,200, I was happy, I was getting drunk, and then I left the hotel, the AC hit me, and after that I can't remember anything. Could not even remember where I was, can't even remember my hotel. And then all I remember was bits and pieces. Like, I was blacking out, in and out. Like, I remember I was walking to the strip by myself. I was trying to talk to people, asking them where my hotel is, even though they don't really know who I am. Finally, I wake back up into my hotel, look in my bank account, and all my accounts gone.
Did you see where you spent it?
Well, throughout the day, I started remembering, like, bits and pieces started coming back to me. And I started remembering that I, for some reason, was talking to some female. And after that, I started connecting the dots, and I was like, wait, she took out $500 and some from an ATM and took out the other $500 and something from an Albertsons. So she got her bills paid and went grocery shopping all on the same night.
And that was on you?
I guess she also took my debit card.
Oh, of course, yes.
Welcome to Vegas.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Oh, yeah.
If they're smart, they try to pilfer from you about 11:45, right? Because that way, after midnight, they can take out money. So you can get $1,000 in about 20 minutes as opposed to waiting the full 24 hours.
What did you end up having to do for the rest of the time then?
Oh, man. Like, luckily, I was working at the airport at the time, and my cousin was like, hey, well, don't you have benefits? I was like, oh, yeah. Thank God my plane ticket was only $2 to go back home.
Yeah, $2, okay.
$2.
Send me $2 to go back home.
Yeah, Vegas is dangerous, man. I mean, you can get into a lot of trouble down there. I will say this. I read an article today, the Wynn Hotel Properties.
Yes.
Over 500 of their employees tested positive for COVID.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like...
It's Vegas.
There's a lot of different ways right now that Vegas is dangerous. And that's a really nice between that one and the Encore beside it. Those are two prime... That's where you went, I believe, to go to the topless pool? Was that where you...
That was...
Was that the Wynn?
That was the Wynn. Castle was getting married. This is 2010, whatever the hell it was. But he's staying at the Wynn. We're all staying there. We rented a cabana one day, right? So a bunch of us are over there, and we had a great time. We're just drinking, hanging out, right? But on the other side of this wall, we knew the topless pool's there. So me and our buddy Batman, as we call him, like, man, we need to go over there. And so he was looking at our wives, said, listen, you can get mad about it, you cannot. We're going over, looking at some boobs, right? Mm-hmm. They were like, whatever, we don't care. We walk over to this other side, and trust me, we're excited, but we're like, all right, man, just play it cool. You know, that's my first time going to a topless pool. It had to be the ugliest people I've seen in my... And, man, it is not like the movies. See, movies lead you to believe that if someone is topless, just based on the fact they're topless, they're also a 10 out of 10. This is not true.
No.
I saw a woman, it looked like tree bark with nipples. And I could not believe what I was seeing. And we started looking around, and we don't want to make it too obvious by going like, ugh, and running away. So we stayed there for like 10 minutes, came walking back. And they're like, how was it? I said, it was absolutely effing awful.
I never felt worse on a trip with all of us than Vegas. That trip, that point in time to Castle's wedding, it was so hot. It was 120 degrees. I put on the remnants of some type of suit type thing.
Yeah.
We decided that we were going to get a limo because, like, Jolene and other people were traveling differently, but there was a bunch of us in one hotel, so we were going to get down there and get together. Limo pulls up. It's like a 1983 Lincoln Continental stretch limo. The guy first walks up and he goes, hey, man, we're ready to go here. Just want to let you know my AC went out, so it's going to be a little bit of a hot ride. So roll down the windows and...
It was
like you just stepped into a sauna. So now I'm just sweating alcohol the entire way to the church. I am just dripping with... I can smell what I've been drinking. And I mean, I'm like, please don't throw up. Please don't throw up. Please don't throw up. Don't do it. You know what I mean? Because we all just went out and got hammered, all right? So to give you an idea how hammered we were. I don't think we've ever told this story, but give you an idea how hammered we were. So we get to the chapel, and I'm looking, and I'm about ready to throw up. And this is no disrespect to anybody, but I look up and there's a picture of Duff McKagan, and he and Susan had been married there as well.
Oh, that's right.
And I almost threw up on the picture because I looked up to hold my crap in. Okay. So the Elvis guy that's going to marry them, all right, he finally shows up, and we go in there, and Elvis marries him, all right? And at this point in time...
He promises to make sure he's your burn a hunk of love forever.
And I don't know how, you don't know too much about Jolene. Never on time, right?
Oh, God.
So I go out, so the ceremony's over, all right? I go outside, and I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be the right time to throw up out in the parking lot. There are other groups getting ready, but I'm just going to go ahead and go around the corner and spew. So I go out, turn the corner, and lo and behold, there's Jolene pulling up. She missed the entire goddamn thing, and I couldn't throw up because now there's like six people outside, and I was just like, whoa, God, oh, God. It was horrible.
Why didn't you just puke, man?
Because it was
just
like,
do the, I'll be right back.
Because they got a ride there, too. So it was like, you know, like, it was like the cab driver, everybody else who's out there. And she's like, we missed it? Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah, you missed the wedding.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Annie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Yeah. I was reminded of something that happened a few years back when I heard the horse story. I have another horse story and horse, like H-O-R-S-E.
Yes, yes.
And so I had savings. And I had been loaning a lot of, well, not really loaning, I guess giving away, because I knew I'd never give it back, but I had been giving away a lot of money to a relative. And I sort of lost track of how much I had been giving, but I knew I'd given a lot. And so when I went over my savings, I had like $12,000 left, and I thought, you know, because everybody has dreams with their savings, like, you know, as it gets bigger and bigger, and of course it takes a long time to save. So I thought, oh, $12,000, what can I do with that? You know, I mean, you know.
I'll tell you, give it to me, I'll do something with it.
I know, but I mean, you know, I you always want to do something big, like, you know, you can't buy a house with $12,000, you can't buy a new car or whatever, you know. And so I was really depressed, you know, for a few days, and then it was Kentucky Derby time, and I had never bet before, but the newspaper ad said that this one horse was sure to win. And, everybody knows, I should say most people know, that that doesn't usually happen, because recently the horse that was strongly favored to win didn't win this last Kentucky Derby. I mean, I do watch the races now, but then in those days, so I went out there and I was just depressed. You know, there's nothing I can do. I've given away so much of my savings. And so then I bet the whole amount on the favored horse. And the odds were really low because, you know, it was
the
horse that was expected to win. And so, you know, so I'm in this crowded off-track betting place, you know, and everybody's betting, like, small amounts, like, you know, $20 or whatever. And somebody had saw me bet the large amount, and he said, "You bet $12,000?" And I go, "Well, yeah, you know." And then so the track was muddy, and the horse looked sleepy and everything. And I thought, oh no. And then so the race was over. And
did the horse win?
The horse won.
Okay.
How much money did you make?
Well, because the odds were low, I only made $4,000.
That's not bad, Annie.
Listen, you had $12,000.
There was this one couple of people that you know, they kept looking at me like I was crazy, this husband and wife.
No.
And they go, you bet a large amount of money to win a small amount, you know? And the thing of it was is I couldn't really be overjoyed, you know. I mean, I won, but the thing of it is I could have lost. I mean, I just...
Yeah, but you won.
Kind of like a learning lesson, you know.
Don't give money away to relatives.
There was no learning
lesson.
That's the
lesson. Do not give your money away. You're never going to see it again.
And you ended up with 16 grand. Like, yeah. That is not a lesson I've ever learned.
Right. I've never won $4,000.
If I blow 12 grand, I'm out 12 grand. What's and I don't have 12 grand.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Every miss so far in the year. Coming up, we'll do a little highlight reel for you on Ted versus the FCC, but only the losses. Ted versus the FCC coming up after emails on our question. What is a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
I got it doing today on Positive Friday.
Positive Friday. You know how we're doing. It's Positive Friday.
So I was 19, actually. It was only a couple of years ago. But my buddy wanted to go down to Falso to the Clearwater Casino. It's 18. Like a minimum or a maximum there, something like that. So I just went down there, and I think I had a free room at the time, so I was like, you know, screw it, you know, free room, go have some fun. So I went down there, part took a little bit, just, you know, if we're not going to win anything, at least we're having a little bit of fun, you know. So we get down there, and I pull like $500 out, and I'm playing for a few hours, and literally nothing all night. Like, it was just nothing but bad news. And then I go into this one of those moves where it's like, screw it, you know, I'm just gonna go take my last like $100 and go do some $5 hits or something, you know. So I'm just sitting there in a crappy mood and went hit some hits, and like $10 left, I got into like this bonus, and I ended up winning $7,800 on it.
Jeez, golly.
Yeah, just flipped my whole night around. I was like, I've never won anything here that I like casinos or anything. So I'm sitting there just jumping and like freaking out. It's crazy.
Well, hopefully you stop there. That's the key.
Yeah, no, yeah. I stopped there. I end up being able to like put a down payment on a car and paid off bills. It was, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the smart.
I literally ended it there.
Yeah, if you're going to win that kind of money, man, it's time to walk away, I think.
Oh,
I've never 100%. Done it. I'm saying that in theory. I've never won that kind of money, but I know for a fact that that would be what I'm trying to talk myself into doing.
Well,
not that I'm not going to go get a nice dinner after that.
I don't think you'll gamble. I think you take most people I've seen, because, again, I hit the $960 on the slot machine, and I physically stopped any gambling,
mm-hmm.
but I did eat well and all of it. $7,800, maybe I go, all right, I'll tell you what. We'll take $800. We'll keep gambling with that, but $7,000. Yeah, absolutely. And then I tell everyone in my family that I only won $3,000, see?
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
My daughter asked me, Dad, if you won the lottery, what would you buy me?
She asked you that?
Yeah, I'm like, what? She's like, if you won the lottery, what would you buy me? Instead of, I won the lottery, you'd be lucky to even find out about it. What are you talking about, exactly. Man? Nothing.
You put a hit out on me.
Hello, Sam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So first off, I want to tell Miles, I have a pretty good rapport with animals, and I don't think Sunshine's in hell. I think she's in purgatory.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
A step up. That's a positive.
Game that drags her around the hot pavement, makes her sit in a hot car when he goes to the store.
That's positive reinforcement.
Yeah, it's purgatory, not hell.
Positive Friday.
That's right.
All right, so my story, and I'm going to leave names out of this. So a really close friend of mine made a deal with a buddy that he went to high school with, and this guy got connected with the Russian mafia.
Oh, that's always good. You always want to do business with the Russian mob.
Yeah, it turned out really well. So these two guys come over from Eastern Washington with $10,000 cash, and my buddy was supposed to meet up with them, but he wasn't home. So his sister was home, and she said, because she knew the guy that was the hookup, it was for weed.
They brought $10,000 for weed?
Yes.
All right.
This is before it was legal. This is a long time ago. So my buddy's sister says, well, I know the guy. I can hook you up. So she goes with Russian dude and other guy to an apartment complex. You should never do this. You don't ever give somebody money without seeing the product. But she's not very intelligent. So dude just took the money and ditched out. And they had her in a motel, like literally held her hostage, like tied up to a chair.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
She got a hold of her brother, who was my buddy, and said, this is the situation I'm in. So he said, put him on the phone. So they agreed to switch her out as a hostage for him and then started making phone calls to get the money, and they wanted double for their...
Hello?
Going at... Yeah, well, I'm here.
Okay, sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
So they wanted double the money that they paid, and my buddy called my mom, called me, this and that. Like, we didn't have the money. He finally got a hold of a friend of ours, and he showed up with a sawed-off shotgun with the money, and he was literally tied up in a chair in a motel, and it got figured out. It was done.
So your buddy managed to track someone down who had $20,000.
Yes.
And they showed up and got him off the hook. And assuming now your buddy is now indebted to the person that sprang them out of the Russian mob.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, good times.
Man, are you still friends with this guy?
I actually am not.
Okay. That might be a good decision.
Interesting.
I'm not sure that guy makes the best decisions.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've never had to interact with the mob. No. I'm sure I've interacted with the mob, but not knowingly. You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds
of versions of organized crime out there. You have no idea.
That's what I mean. I guarantee, if you've been to a laundromat, probably interacted with the mob. Mm-hmm. We interviewed a guy.
He
written
money
a book
anyway.
Called Wise Guy, right? And he's out of the mob now, but we're talking to this guy. And he's like, look, man. He's like, you can watch all these dumbass movies, and people think all you do is walk around with guns, have a horrible accent, and gun each other down in public. He's like, you know, you try not to do that thing. This is a business. We just want to make money. We actually don't want any problems because you don't want the cops looking. So we said, well, what are some of the things you did? And he was a Baltimore area guy, but he's like, I can't remember the chain of laundromats, but he's like, not anymore, but originally it was owned by, you know, Vinny Two Knuckles, blah, blah, blah.
Car washes, things that you wouldn't even, basically legitimate businesses.
They're legit businesses. They're just run by the mob. But he made this point. All of us were like, oh, yeah. He said, look. One of the things you do in the mob, he said, when you're running stuff like, you know, video arcades in the 80s when they were huge, anything that involves coins, I'm like, really? Why? And he said, it's this easy. He said, because in the mob, it occurred to us that when you get tokens, right, most people equate a token to be worth 25 cents. So you put four quarters in, you get four tokens out. Those four tokens cost us about a penny apiece. So we make 96 cents on every dollar. So he's like, the laundromat game, all that stuff for people to shove money into a machine and get tokens back. It's like, that's pretty much it. And he's like, there's nothing illegal about it. Now, what we spent the money on is illegal. But mm-hmm. He's like, the businesses themselves. And I'm like, man, oh, man, I want to open something now that gives out tokens.
Or tickets.
He's right.
Prize tickets.
They're not worth anything
no,
at
not.
All.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, guys.
Hola.
So my story revolves around a scam that shows up in this area every few years, it seems like. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but basically you're coming out of a shopping mall, something like that. Somebody pulls up with a van or Suburban. They've got three large boxes that are super expensive TVs. Speakers, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They tell you the story. Hey, we had to deliver all these boxes. We got three left over. Our boss said he doesn't care what we do with them. Just get rid of them for whatever we can. And then they proceed to sell you the box of expensive speakers with crap speakers in them.
Of course.
Yeah. So me and a buddy of mine had some friends down. They're not very street savvy, small town boys, but they're pretty crazy. So we went to the South Center Shopping Mall and, split up. We came out about the same time. Me and my buddy heading to our car. They're heading over to their car. We see one of these vans pull up. So we watch 4 minutes, see what's going on, and the slick guys come out and start the story. So we head over, and, you know, I pull my buddy aside and tell him, like, hey, you know, just so you know, this is a scam. There are speakers in the box, but the speakers are not as good as the ones that they're trying to sell you, and it's a ripoff. And I'm like, so why don't we bounce? He's like, no, I'm all right. I want to see what's going on. So I'm like, fine, you guys do what you want to do. I'm just going to stand over here and watch. So I know these guys are ripping my buddies off, and I hate this scam anyways. So I'm standing over, leaning against my car, which is next to their passenger side window. And just stand there waiting, and I look in, and there's one of those bank bags, the little gray ones, mm-hmm. 50 bank bags. And I look down, and there's a bunch of cash in it. So I'm thinking to myself, like, we'll see if these guys try to rip my buddies off or not. Little do I know, my buddy, who's pretty crazy but not street savvy, now he knows what the game is, and he's thinking to himself, hell with these guys, I'm just going to take their box, their stereo box, because he's a pretty tough kid. And so he proceeds to, you know, look in the box, see the speakers. Oh, it sounds great. Yeah, let me put it in my truck, da-da-da-da-da. Shuts the truck door, and the guy's like, all right, that'll be, you know, $700. And he's like, no, I don't think I'm going to pay you anything.
Uh-oh.
What are you talking about? You know, blah, blah, blah. And my buddy's like, well, you're trying to scam me and rip me off and steal my money, so now I'm stealing your speakers. You can call the cops if you want, but I'm sure they're not going to do anything.
Right.
And about the same time, I'm thinking to myself, well, they've scammed all these other people and stole these other people's money. So I just reached in and grabbed the bank bag, and I stepped in my car, and we started to drive off. And then my buddy jumps in his car, not jumps in, but gets in his car, and he starts to drive off. Well, right about this time, those guys are pissed about getting their speakers taken, but they're not going to call the cops. And my buddy's pretty crazy, so he made it pretty apparent that, you know, you don't want to try and get the box out of my car.
Sure.
So they take their loss, jump in their rig. We're starting to drive away. They're starting to drive away the other way. And then they notice that all of their stolen, scammed money is gone, too. So there was a little car chase through the parking lot. And we eventually stopped. And everybody got out. And these guys were trying to be aggressive. But my small town buddies were a little more aggressive. And they took their losses and we took our win that day.
Oh, it's just like going to the casino.
How much money? How much money was in the bank bag?
It was literally like just under $1,800.
Damn. Okay, so you got speakers and $1,800.
My buddies were just trying to get on the freeway, head out of town, so we just flipped them some of the cash, and then we took that one as a win. We've taken plenty of losses. So
what did you? What did you guys do with the money for the rest of the afternoon?
Oh, God. I don't even think we spent it that day. But I think, we actually went out that next weekend and bought ourselves brand new big screen TV and a stereo system.
Oh, nice.
All right. You got the real
speakers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. He's telling the story and someone chimes in. They say that literally just happened to me at Lowe's in Ballard last week. The speakers were all right, but the sub was blown.
That whole thing's been going on. That scam's been going on for over 30 years.
Forever. I mean, as long as I've been alive.
Even when I was a kid, my buddy had those speakers.
But the one thing I will say, and I don't know if it's true here in Seattle, but certainly in Baltimore, they won't leave you alone until they can make a sale. But they'll start with the speakers, you know, the higher end items, whatever. And you're like, man, you see them walking. I'm not going to walk with speakers all the way home. No. I ain't gonna speak. Well, you got kids? You know kids? Yeah, I know a few kids. We got a remote control car. Man, I don't need a remote control car. Then it's, you need batteries? Everybody needs batteries. Kind of better. All right, I'll take some D batteries. Hey, brother, you need socks? Like, it always ended. Mm-hmm. I can't explain. There are more people per capita in Baltimore City walking around in trench coats that have batteries and socks for sale than anywhere on the
street. Socks for sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got socks. I got batteries. How did you know?
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK. My favorite scam in Baltimore, not that it's a scam, but when newspapers were being sold at the time,
mm-hmm.
you would go to a newspaper stand and put in your quarter, your 50 cents or whatever. You would reach in, and then you would buy, you would take every single one of those
that
newspapers. And then guys would go to the intersections and then sell the Baltimore Sun for a profit. So they would just sit there, like if it was 50 cents, whatever, dollar, whatever it was.
Sunday was the big day.
Yeah, they just sell the whole stack, you know, pay for one, and then they would just make all their money and do it again.
My father used to get kind of pissed about it. He's like, God damn it. It's like, drive to the intersection, so I got to buy goddamn paper from them. I'm like, well, if it bothers you that much, don't do it. And he's like, you can't find the newspaper anywhere else. Like, all the boxes are empty. All the stores are empty. It's just these guys that have stolen them all.
And the bottom line was, their newspaper still got distributed. So if you bought advertising in there, it still got to its location.
Yeah, the advertisers had no problem with
it. Right, and that's how they make money. What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bees.
Hola.
What's going on today?
Positive Friday, brother.
Positive Friday.
Hell yeah.
I love it. So my little story is I was filling in for one of my guys cleaning a retail store one night in the middle of the night by myself, and I'm vacuuming the floor, and there's a fixture of pants. So the pants go all the way to the floor. And I push the vacuum underneath, and all of a sudden it jams up. And I pull it out and I flip it over, and there's like three $20 bills jammed up into the roller.
Where did that come from?
What the hell? Yeah, it was like I didn't even know what to think. I was shocked. So I unjam it. It's about 2 a.m. I need to keep moving so I can get the heck out. And I start vacuuming again, and I shove the vacuum under again, and it jams up again, and I pull out, and there's another wad of 20 stuck in it.
How many this time?
About 4. And they won't go all the way up into it because they're too big, so they get jammed up into the roller. So I got to halfway take it apart to pull them all out. So I separate the clothing, and within about 5 minutes, I found $300 and $20 bills.
Was somebody hiding it back there, like an employee was eventually going to come and steal it the next day? Would that be your guess?
I didn't know what to think at the time, so I took the money. The store was all locked up, so I took it home with me. I left a note with some management there to let them know, and I came in early the next morning, and sure enough, a customer had called to look for lost money.
You know what? And I'm going to start trying that randomly. Call Target and be like, hey, man, I left like $400 in there. Did you guys find it?
Did you turn the money in?
I did. You know, one thing you learn about retail pretty quick is that they have cameras all over the place. And these cameras can take a picture of can read your ID if it's sitting on the counter. So, you know, there's... somebody's always watching.
Oh, that's fact. We know that. Yeah.
All right. Well, if it did not have cameras, would you have reported it?
I would have. I didn't really feel like it was mine to keep anyway. It's just one of my character flaws, I guess.
Yes, that is a character
flaw.
That's
horrible. Yeah, you can't be part of Ocean's 11 with that honest heart.
No.
Well, I know. I would be horrible in Ocean's 11, that's for sure.
Getaway driver drove us straight to the police station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my poker face is non-existent.
My poker face.
What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Darren. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So, I still remember this one 17 years later. I was in Renton at a bowling alley that had a little casino built into it, and playing Spanish 21, and they have a progressive bet. If you're familiar with progressive betting, it's a digital screen that says the amount of the jackpot, and there's like 5 different card combinations also that you could be dealt, and you get like $5 up to like $100. But if you get 2 aces and you split your aces and you are dealt 2 more aces, which is almost unheard of, you win the progressive jackpot if you bet the dollar.
All right.
to go on. It's a sucker bet. You know, I mean, you can bet that all night long, and you're giving money to the casino, basically.
Sure.
You'll win $5 or $10 here or there. But anyway, and there was 4 or 5 other people playing with me, and I was betting the progressive because it's just fun for me. You know, it adds a little excitement to the game. I'm not there to bring home a bunch of money. I'm there to just have some fun. I have some extra money, so let's play blackjack. And so I'm betting this progressive bet, and I have... You throw a dollar $1 chip in this little slot, and it confirms that you bet this progressive bet. So I had no $1 chips left, and there was like five people playing with me, and they were trying to, and I was just ready to throw them a $5 chip and say, hey, can I have five ones? And then there's like three guys staring at me, so I just go ahead, and I remember this vividly, but I say, go ahead, deal, deal. And he dealt me two aces, and I was like, oh my God, great. I would have just won like $100, or I would have won like $10 or something, whatever it was. No, you have to split them and then be dealt a two other whatever cards they are. So I split my aces just for because that's what you do, and I was dealt another ace and another ace, and I was $1 bet away from taking home $68,000.
What did you end up taking home?
I didn't win anything because I didn't bet the line.
That'll never happen again.
You got the four aces, man.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So much for gambling.
Coming up every loss of the year with a return of Ted versus the FCC. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.